Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, who dwells within you. Amen. What's gotten into you? Have you ever asked someone this question? Have you ever been asked this question? It's usually asked of someone when they're not acting in a manner that's normal for that person. A reserved person suddenly becomes a chatterbox. An outgoing friend is unusually quiet. A boss who rarely offers compliments drops an encouraging word. Or an ordinarily kind relative is gruff and short-tempered. Unexpected or atypical behaviors in a person can be the result of any number of factors. But whatever the reason or cause behind unusual behaviors, such actions may lead others to ask, what's gotten into you? Well, as we turn to today's gospel reading, take that question, what's gotten into you, and just set it aside for now. And so today we're in John 14, verses 15 through 21. And I gotta say, there's a lot going on in these few verses. I think as a whole, John 14 might be one of the more important chapters in the whole Bible just because there's so much packed into it. Last week's gospel reading was the first 14 verses of this chapter, and here's just a few of the highlights from those verses. Jesus instructs his disciples about the many rooms in his Father's house and the place he's preparing for them. There's also the famous statement Jesus proclaims about himself, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus also asserts that he is the only way to God the Father. And Jesus teaches of the unity between himself and the Father. And so there's a lot there. And we could spend dozens of sermons just unpacking all of it. And so today, as we continue with the next seven verses in John 14, there's still a lot going on. There's the Trinity. There's bits of eschatology, or the last day when Jesus returns. There's sanctification. There's the work of the Holy Spirit. So, still, there's a lot going on here. But today, I'd really like to focus on verses 15 and 16, where Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." Now, the helper that Jesus promised to send is the Holy Spirit. And so today, I'd like to explore the sending and receiving of the Holy Spirit. So in our text, Jesus promised to send the Spirit, the helper, to his disciples. And he's made the same promise to us. In your baptism, you received the Holy Spirit. The Spirit created saving faith in you. And he's made your body his temple. The Spirit, therefore, connects you to Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit, the Helper, who has created a saving relationship between Jesus and you. The Spirit connects you to Jesus in and through your baptism, the hearing and reading of God's Word, the forgiving of your sins, the eating and drinking of communion, and in the fellowship with other Christians. As a Christian, you experience the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit dwells, lives within you. You have the Spirit. And this is no small feature of the Christian life. For without the Holy Spirit, we would not have faith in God. Our sins would not be forgiven. We would not be connected to Christ. We would not be saved. The gift of the Holy Spirit is an immensely important and integral treasure that we as Christians have. Because the Holy Spirit connects us to Jesus, and because Jesus is the only way to God the Father, we are forgiven, redeemed, saved. In short, the Holy Spirit is intimately involved in our justification. That is, in our being made God's beloved and righteous children. So because you are justified children of God, if I were to ask you, What's gotten into you? As Christians, you can properly respond, the Holy Spirit. Well, in the third article of the Apostles' Creed, we confess, and we'll say these words in a few moments, I believe in the Holy Spirit. In his explanation of the third article, Martin Luther explains the Spirit's work by stating, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts. So the Spirit's fingerprints are all over our justification. But Luther continues by saying, the Spirit also has sanctified and kept me in the true faith. And so the Spirit is intimately involved in our sanctification as well. Sanctification can be essentially summarized as everything that God does to make us holy. It's the spiritual transformation the Spirit works in us to make us more like Jesus. It's the holiness of life that follows after justification. In other words, sanctification is the process by which the Spirit enables us to live as God's children, as Jesus' disciples. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit within you means the Spirit is working sanctification within you. He is making you holy. Now, sanctification is played out in many and various ways in the Christian life. But with regard to Jesus' words from today's text, sanctification is tied directly to keeping Jesus' commands. Here again, Jesus' words from today's gospel reading. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so what are Jesus' commands? Well, Jesus summed up God's law into two parts. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus' commands are God's law given to us in the Ten Commandments. Remember, in the Gospels, Jesus did not get rid of the law, but in fact, he amplified it. And keeping Jesus' commands are tied directly with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. For it's the Spirit, the Helper, who leads, guides, and directs us in keeping Jesus' commands. It's the Spirit's sanctifying work that enables us to follow Jesus and obey him. It's the Spirit that transforms us into the likeness of Christ and conforms our lives to God's will for us. Echoing many of the Psalms, it's the Spirit that leads us to treasure God's law and creates in us a yearning to obey it. It's also the Spirit who convicts us of our sin that leads us to repentance. And so because of Jesus, the Spirit also assures us that we are forgiven. As I've thought about the indwelling of the Spirit and what this means for the Christian life, I've realized that much of the Holy Spirit's sanctifying work is directly concerned with our relationships with other people. While all of the Ten Commandments are ultimately concerned with our relationship with God, most of them actually involve our relationships with people. Honor your father and your mother, do not murder, do not commit adultery, and so on. God certainly cares about our relationship with him, but he cares intensely about our relationships with other people. Life in and with Jesus cannot be separated from our lives with other people, especially with other Christians. The Spirit's sanctifying work within us really changes how we see and treat other people. And while all theology, all doctrine is practical, when it comes to our relationships with others, theology and doctrine are immensely practical because the Spirit is working to make each of us more like Christ. The Spirit leads and directs us to view and treat others as Jesus does. The Spirit is at work in and through our relationships. Now, that being said, relationships are tricky. Whether we're interacting with a total stranger or with the closest of friends, all relationships have their challenges. Even the best of relationships can be difficult at times. But God doesn't waste anything. And I can say that in my own life, it's often through the most difficult relationships that the Spirit has worked the most sanctification. Often because through those challenging relations, God has pruned away and put to death much of my own sinful self. So again, for those in whom the Spirit dwells, the Spirit is at work. But for our own sanctification, but also for the well-being of those with whom we interact. And so as Christians, we really are little Christs to the world around us. We get to be little Christs to our closest family members, dearest friends, co-workers, colleagues. But we also get to be little Christs to complete strangers, estranged relatives, and embittered enemies. As I've been thinking about what it means for us to have the Holy Spirit, I've considered what that means given our current situation, the current global pandemic. I'm sure most of you, like me, are tired of coronavirus and how it's impacting our lives. I'm sure many of you, like me, are maybe tired of hearing about coronavirus in sermons. But over the last several weeks, I've really been trying to see this pandemic as an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to work sanctification in the lives of Christians. This pandemic is affecting everyone in one way or another. Christians and non-Christians alike are suffering from the same physical, economic, and social impacts of this virus. But are we as Christians, as those in whom the Spirit dwells, acting and speaking as those who keep Jesus' commands, or are we acting and speaking just like everyone else in the world around us? For example, governmental leaders are being blasted for their decisions and executive orders. Do we as Christians also slander and disrespect our governmental leaders, or do we pray for, obey, and respect the government, even when, and maybe especially when, we disagree with the government? Do we treat those with differing political ideologies, those who have different opinions regarding this pandemic, with contempt, like what we see all over social media? Or do we love and respect them as human beings created by our Creator God? Well, let's bring it down to the family level. This pandemic has certainly placed many new stressors on families. Fuses are shorter. We're more easily annoyed and irritable. We're harshly critical of one another. And all of these things are really quite normal given the circumstances. But are we, as Jesus' disciples, utilizing this pandemic as an opportunity to grow in appreciation and affection towards those closest to us? Are we verbally asking our loved ones for forgiveness when we hurt them? Are we verbally forgiving those whom we have hurt? Are we verbally forgiving the people in our families who've wronged us? In other words, during these strange days of pandemic, are we taking the opportunities placed before us to keep Jesus' commands? This pandemic is certainly a unique opportunity to grow in sanctification. And we're certainly going to fail. We've all failed. But God wastes nothing. Whether it's a pandemic or our own relational failures, the Spirit's certainly at work. And for part of the sanctification process is returning to our justification. In other words, we need to constantly return to Jesus and the cross. When the Spirit convicts us of our sin, when we fail to love God or others as we should, the Spirit leads us to repent of our sins and ask for forgiveness. The Spirit then assures us that we are indeed forgiven and that God continues to love us. We could say that sanctification is really just getting used to our justification. Being sinful people, sanctification is often taking one step forward while taking two steps back. But in spite of our sin, in spite of our failures, the Spirit constantly points us back to Jesus and continually guides us in keeping Jesus' commands. Even though we daily sin much, the Spirit is always helping us to live according to Jesus' commands, to live God-pleasing lives. For in many ways, when we follow Jesus, when we keep his commands, we're going to act and speak differently from the world around us. Our epistle reading from 1 Peter hints at this. We're going to exhibit words and actions that reflect Jesus. We're going to reflect a Spirit-led life, one marked by virtues like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you exhibit such behaviors, especially in difficult circumstances like a global pandemic, it might lead people to ask questions, to ask something like, what's gotten into you? What's gotten into a person who exhibits such a Spirit-led life? What's gotten into you when you keep Jesus' commands? Well, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has gotten into you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given you the Holy Spirit. Amen.